Today's daf is Mem Zayin. We're going to start, let's see, toward the bottom, but not exactly the bottom, of Mem Vav Amud Bet. Okay, we saw yesterday, we had this Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, if you look right where the middle of the page, let's just start there for a minute. Tanu Rabbanan, Shtei Alechem Haba'ot Bifnei Atzmam Yunfu V'Tu'ubar Tzuratam V'Yatzu LeBeit HaStreifa. In the case where you don't have the Kibseh Atzeret, let's say they got lost or puzzled or something happened to them, then the Shtei Alechem, we said, according to Rabbi Akiva, comes, right, you can bring the Shtei Alechem by themselves. And so you do Hanafa, then you leave them overnight, and then the question is, do you get to eat them or not? So according to the Braita, you have to do Yatzu LeBeit HaStreifa. So then the Gemara asks, Ma Nafshach, Ilach Ila Atyan, if they can be eaten, well then, you should eat them. Chlinu. V'ilestreifa Atyan, l'sarfinu la'alter. Right? And if they're supposed to be burned, because they haven't been brought in the proper manner with the Shnei Kvasim, then you can't eat them and you burn them, well then, you should burn them immediately. Why should you leave them overnight? So we're going to see, like I said, three answers. Okay, so Rabbi said, "La'olam la'achila atyan." Really, they're meant for achila. We saw this yesterday, but we burn them gzera. Maybe the next year, right? Shema yizdamnu lahem kfasim l'shana ba. Next year, they have kfasim. Okay, right. This could be also a case where there just were no kfasim, and then the following year they have kfasim, and they'll say, "Oh, we remember last year, right? We ate the bread even though we didn't have kfasim. So maybe we don't need to actually bring the kfasim." That was one answer. And then he tried to prove from a certain source how we know that ne'echalim. But then we said that you can't really prove it from there. Okay. Then we have Rav Yosef. Okay. This is where we ended yesterday, about eight lines from the bottom. Rav Yosef amar le'olam l'sreifa atyan. Really, they're meant to be burned. So now what's left to explain? Why we don't burn them immediately. Right, why we leave to Ubar Tzuratan. If they're meant to be burned, right? So now they say, Hainu Tama de los Sarfinan, Lafisha Ain Sarfim Kocha Biyom Tov. Oh, it's a totally external reason. It has nothing to do with this case in particular. Really, they're meant to be burned, but we're not allowed. When do we bring them? On Shavuot. So if you were to burn them that day, what's the problem? We don't burn Kocha Magyantif. Okay? That's halacha. Ein sorfin kodshim b'yom tov. So now we're going to see, is that really true that we never ein sorfin kodshim b'yom tov? In what case don't we burn kodshim b'yom tov? Generally, we don't burn kodshim b'yom tov when do we burn kodshim in general? The general case of burning kodshim is when something becomes disqualified. If something becomes disqualified on the holiday, kodshim, then what do? We burn it, but we don't burn it on yom tov. We're going to push it off and only burn it after the chag. So now they're going to say the same thing happens here. In theory, we're supposed to burn the Lachmei Todah. However, remember, this is a case where we bring the Lachmei Todah, but there are no kvasim. We bring them without the kvasim. So since they were without the kvasim, comes Rav Yosef to say they're not meant for achila. They're only meant to be burned. Why don't we burn them immediately? Because of a technical problem. It's Yantif. We can't burn them on Yom Tov. So now Abaye doesn't really agree with this. Amar Abaye mi dame. You're comparing it to the halacha of Ein Sorfin Kocha B'Yom Tov? Hatam, when we talk about Ein Sorfin Kocha B'Yom Tov, that's when something becomes disqualified. Lav mitzvatam bekach. It's not that the mitzvah is that you're supposed to burn them. No. It's something happened to it, and because something happened to it, something went wrong. They have to be burned. But it's not that the way that it's supposed to be sacrificed is by burning. Ha-ha, in our case, if you say that the Shtei Alechem that come without kvasim are meant to be burned, that's the way you perform the mitzvah of it, well then, l'srafinu, then you should be able to burn them. Midi dahava, in other words, then what are we going to say? When something's meant to be burnt, when that's the way the mitzvah is supposed to be, then what do? We burn it even on Yantif. What's our proof? When do we burn things even on Yantif? Because their mitzvatan is betach. Midi dahava, a par v'seir shel yom kippurim. Remember we call them the parim anisrafim? Remember the par gets burned. And the seir, we burn them outside. Remember they burn them outside? So those things are done on Yom HaKippurim. We don't push it off and say, oh, Ein Sofrim Kol Shem B'Yom Tov. So basically, let's just review, especially for those who just came. We have, number one, we started off with, remember we said, if the Lachmei Atzeret are brought with the Shtei Alechem are brought without the Kvasim, we leave them overnight and then we burn them. So yesterday we said, the first answer given was, really they're supposed to be eaten, but we burn them so that people don't get confused the following year. Second answer was, no, they're really meant to be burned, but Ein Sofrim Kol Shem B'Yom Tov, there's a technical problem. That Abaye just rejected, because Abaye said, what do you mean? When it's mitzvah tam bekach, if that's the way you're, now it's a, here's a little bit of an in-between, because it's not really that the Shtei Alechem mitzvatan is b'sreifa, like the parent seer of Yom HaKippurim. It's only when it's not done in the right manner, without the kvasim, then it's supposed to be burned. So it's sort of an in-between. It's not like a psul of yotzei or tuma or those kind of cases where we have to burn them because they were disqualified. That's when we'd say, Ein Sofrim B'Yom Tov. And mitzvatan b'kach, we'd say, was the parent seer of Yom HaKippurim, where that's what's supposed to happen. This is sort of an in-between, because it's not really what's supposed to happen. On the other hand, when this is the situation, that there are no kvasim, then that's what's supposed to happen. So it's sort of an in-between. You could see why it might go both ways. Okay, third answer. Now you might say, why is there a third answer? We've already gone through both possibilities. Either it's meant to be eaten, or it's meant to be burned. So, what's going to be the answer now? So 1 minute. I think we didn't finish. We didn't finish with this one. Ela Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, okay, fine. You're right. It's not because of Ein Sofrim Kol Shem B'Yom Tov. Really, it's supposed to be burned. However, we're going to push off the Sreifa. Why? Because maybe they'll find Kvasim in the interim. The assumption is there's no Kvasim. So therefore, let's wait the day out. Maybe you'll be able to, and it's wise to say to Ubar Tzuratam, because give it time to maybe we'll be able to find kvasim, and then we'll be able to bring it with the kvasim. Amalei Abaye Tina Kozman Akravatam. So that makes sense as long as they can still be sacrificed. But lebatar hachi listrafinu. But then it shouldn't be to ubar tzuratan and wait till the morning, right? It should be wait till nighttime, right? Because at nighttime already you can't bring a sacrifice at night. Remember, that's a whole thing, that we don't bring sacrifices at night, so it should be immediately after the Zman HaKrava. So what does Rav Yosef answer? In other words, we're saying now, when it says to Ubar Tzuratan, it means wait till the Zman HaKrava is finished. Okay, it's not the next morning, it's that night. That's how he understands the source. Okay. Rava Amar, third answer, L'achi La'atyan Ugzera Mishum Deraba. In other words, it's for achila. However, we don't allow it because of gzera. So why is this a third opinion? V'lav b'ta'ame ela mikra. But it's not for the same reason that Rabbi said, that we're worried that it's going to, people next year will get confused. No. He learns it out from a pasuk. In other words, and theoretically, they can be eaten. But practically speaking, we're not going to eat them because the rabbis will go there, but for what reason? Comes out of a pasuk. Minaminala, where do I get the Vamarava Minaminala? And as what's the pasuk? Dichtiv mi moshvotechem taviu lechem tnufa bechule. Bikurim lahashem. When it talks about this, it calls the Shtei Alechem bikurim. So what do we say? Ma bikurim bifneatzman, af Shtei Alechem bifneatzman. We're now going to make a comparison to the Bikurim, because they're called Bikurim, even though they're not really Bikurim, right? What are Bikurim? The first fruits. How are the first fruits brought in the Mikdash? Are they brought with an animal? No, they're not brought with an animal. Okay? So therefore, the Shtei Alechem are brought b'fnei atzman. Umina ma Bikurim la'achila, af Shtei Alechem na'ami b'achila. Sorry, I didn't exactly say it right. He agrees, I said it wrong. He thinks it's la'achila atyan. It's meant for achila, but he proves that it's meant for achila from a different place than Rabbah proves it. As Rabbah had his whole mahalach that he proved it from, but kol kohen eno shokel eno chotein, he calls it a mincha and goes through that. But, and he proves from there that it was achila. He proves it's achila from a different place, okay? He proves it from the fact that they're called bikurim. And just like bikurim can be eaten even though there's no animal sacrifice, these can be eaten also even though there's no animal sacrifice. However, because of the gzera de Rabbah, It's for the Gzeira reason that we don't want people to get confused the following year. Therefore, we're not going to allow it to be eaten. Okay? So those were the three potential answers, which are really only two. Tana Rabbanan. Kivsei Atzeret Ein Mekadshinet Alechem Ela B'Shchita. So now we're going to have another bright. Kivsei Atzeret, when do they, we saw this before, right? When do they sanctify the bread? Remember, the bread, when you set the bread aside, it has what we call Kedushat Amim. Its value is, it's like Kodshei Bedek HaBayit, where the value of them is sanctified, but not the object itself. I'll turn it off for a few minutes and turn it back on. So what do we say here? The kvasim, when did the lechem actually become sanctified, kedushat haguf? Bishchita. Okay? So that's what it means. Kivsei atzeret, ema kachin et halechem, ela bishchita. And when you slaughter the kivsei atzeret, those breads become sanctified, kedushat haguf, and they become part of the korban. We saw this before about who's kikuz elazer. Remember, once they're inherently connected through shchita, right, and maybe also hanafah, that was yesterday, then what do we say? Even though there's a bit of a debate, what happens? Is the bread ma'akev the lechem? Is the bread ma'akev the kvasim? Or the kvasim ma'akev the bread? Once you do shchita, they're both inherently connected, and if you don't have one, you know, you lose one, then the other becomes disqualified. So now they're going to say, how does this work exactly? Ketzad. Shachatam lishman v'zarakdam lishman. If you slaughter them lishma, and you sprinkle the blood of the animals lishma, kidesh halechem. Okay, then the lechem becomes sanctified. That's the right way to do it. But shechatan shelo lishman, but if you slaughter them without the proper intent, meaning instead of slaughtering them for the sake of the kivsei atzeret, you slaughter them with the intent that you're slaughtering them for some other korban. Vizarak daban shelo lishman, and then you sprinkle the blood shelo lishman, which that part of this, that part is really irrelevant, because once you shechted shelo lishma, it's already shelo lishma. It's just they brought it because we're going to see all the different options. It's really brought for later. But shechatan shelo lishma, v'zarakdaman shelo lishma, lo kidesh alechem, then the bread is not sanctified. Okay? Shechatan, because you didn't do the shechita properly. Shechatan lishma, what if you did the shechita properly, but then, so meaning what happens at that point? Well, it's sanctified, right? Or we're going to see. The assumption is shechita sanctifies. So at that point, it's sanctified, shchatan lishman, but then you did zaraktaman shelo lishman. When you did the zrikatam, you had the wrong intent, okay? You intended it for a different korban. So we're going to have a machloket. What's the status of the bread here? Halechem kadosh ve'eno kadosh, divrei Rebbe. Okay, that's a very unclear statement. It's sanctified, but not sanctified. We're going to have to see what that means. Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon omer, la'olam eino kadosh, ad sheyishchot lishman v'yizrok daman shelo lishman. It's not sanctified at all unless you do shchita and zrika. So until now we said shchita sanctifies it, but now according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, we're going to say you need shchita and zrika. Okay? According to Rabbi, shchita is enough to make it kadosh ve'eino kadosh. Okay? Once, when you do the shchita, and then let's say you mess it up by doing zrika shelo lishman, then it's going to be kadosh ve'eino kadosh. Rabbi Shimon says it's only kadosh after you do shchita and zrika. When you do just shchita, right, shchita, we're going to say shchita only, it's not kadosh, okay? Let's say it's just not kadosh. So now the questions, we're going to have some questions, we're going to try to understand this. First, we're going to say my time of Rebbe. Okay. Why does Rebbe say that it's shchita? Once you do shchita, it's partially kadosh. Dichtiv, v'hata'ayil ya'aseh zevach shlamim la'ashem al sal ha'matzot. This is the El Nazir, where we said you have to do it with the matzot. So it says, ya'aseh zevach shlamim la'ashem al sal ha'matzot. What's zevach? Zevach always means shchita, right? So l'meimra, this is to say that what? Dishchita mekadsha. So what do you see here? Since it says you should do the ayil, the zevach shlamim, with the sal matzot, what does that teach you? That the sal matzot becomes sanctified at the moment of the zevach, which is the shchita. So he proves it from the word zevach in that pasuk about the El Nazir. Now, which is, you know, and then he applies it to our situation, which is basically the same thing. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, what does he say? He looks at that same pasuk, but he darshans it differently. He says, Ya'aseh. Okay, notice it says that ha'ayel ya'aseh zevach shlamim. Okay, so what does it mean? Ad she'aseh kol asiyotav. It's only once you've done everything, because ya'asu, to do it, means to do everything, meaning shchita and zrika. So until zrika, there's no sanctity. Now remember, even if he says shchita, as the Rebbe says, it's the zevach, it's the shchita, that means still it's only partially, right? That's this whole thing, which we're going to understand soon. What does it mean, partially? Okay? So now, we're going to say like this. So we now have, okay, one learns it, Rebbe learns it from zevach, the key is the zevach, the shchita, so it's going to be partially sanctified from shchita. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, ya'asu means until you finish everything. Okay, so now we're going to have to ask, what does each one do with the other? The Rebbe Nami Haktiv Yaseh. So he says, Iktiv Zevach Yaseh Kidakamarta. If it had said, Be'et Ha'ayil Zevach Yaseh, then he would say, okay, then since it first says Shlita, then it says Yaseh, that means it's not anything until you do all the Asiyot. But Hashta Dichtiv Yaseh Zevach, but since it says Yaseh Zevach, the focus on that sentence is the Zevach. And therefore, Bame Yaseh Bizvicha, the Asiya relates Dafka to the Zvicha. Okay, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, Haktiv Zevach. So what does he do with the word Zevach? He thinks Shchita doesn't sanctify it at all. Hahu Mibayle Lechid Rabbi Yochanan. He needs it for what Rabbi Yochanan teaches. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Hakol Modin Shetzarich Shehe Lechem Bishat Shchita. He says that it's not, the Zevach teaches you, when it says here, Yaseh Zevach, Shlamim LaHashem Al Sala Matzot, it means, while you're doing the Zevach, the Shchita, you have to have already put the bread aside. So you can't do the Shchita of the, in this case it's the El Nazir, but it would be the same in our Kivsei Atzeret, you can't do the Shchita of the Ayil, and then bring the Matzot. You know, then put, set aside and make your Matzot. No. The Matzot have to be designated for the sacrifice to go together with it before the Shchita. Now, according to him, right, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, that we're talking about, the bread is still not going to be sanctified when you do the Shchita, but it has to be in existence and designated already before the Shchita. That's why he says, Zevach Shlamim al Sal Matzot, meaning you need to bring the Sal Matzot there, you know, it needs to be designated before you do the Shchita. Again, the Shchita doesn't make it sanctified, but it has to be there at the moment of Shchita. So now we're going to say, so that's, those were basically how they learned it from the Psukim. But now we're going to get more into their Shitot. My Kadosh ve'eno Kadosh. So now we're going to go back to this Rebbe. Rebbe says it's Kadosh ve'eno Kadosh. So what does this mean? So we're now going to have two interpretations. Abai Amar, Kadosh ve'eno Gamur. It's partially Kadosh. It's not fully Kadosh. That's kind of how we said it before, right? Kadosh ve'eno Kadosh, it's partially Kadosh. Which we still don't exactly understand what it means. Hold off. Rava Amar Kadosh Ve'eno Nitar. Rava says it is sanctified. It's just not mutar nitar la'achila. So you can't eat it until you do the zrika. We know that, right? The zrika allows you to eat it. So what he says is it's fully sanctified. Just you can't eat it until you do the zrika. My Benayu, so what's the real difference, the halacha, between them? Whether it's partially sanctified or fully sanctified, either way, you can't eat it yet anyway, and what's the difference about this? Half kadosh or fully kadosh? Ika Benayu lemitpas pidyono. The halachic difference between them is, when you do pidyon, does pidyon work on this? Okay, now there's two different girsaot here. Okay, I'm going to read according to the girsa that's not the girsa that appears in our text. That's the one I'm reading is the one that Rashi prefers. La Abaye tafis pidyono, le Rava lo tafis pidyono. Right in the text in front of you, probably depending on what text you have, but you probably have La Abaye lo tafis pidyono and Le Rava tafis pidyono. You'd say it like this: according to Abaye, who says it's kadosh ve'eno gabor, it's only partially kadosh, then what status does it have? It's kedushat damim still. Since it's only partially sanctified, it hasn't become Kedushat HaGuf. Now, once something's Kedushat HaGuf, what happens? You can't redeem it. You can't flip it onto a coin. You can only redeem things onto money when their value is Kadosh, right? It makes sense. If it has Kedusha in its value. So then you can move that value onto money, in which case what happens? The item that you originally had that was sanctified, when you put the holiness onto money, the item is no longer holy. It's chulin. And the money has kedusha to it now. And then you can take that money and purchase something in place of it.
It's not completely chulin. Doesn't have to be like if it's a seh, yeah, right.
No, so the seh is different. That's the whole difference. The seh is kadosh kedushat aguf. Once it's kadosh kedushat aguf, it becomes very difficult to do pidyon. In other words, you can maybe sort of do somewhat of a pidyon, but you can't fully. It doesn't remove the kedusha from the original item. That's exactly why we leave the seh lirot, right? We say ad she'esteev, and then you can do pidyon. Because then it loses its kedushat aguf status. Then you could do pidyon. But you can't do pidyon when it's kedushat haguf. Okay, that's the problem with the first nusach. The first nusach says the opposite, and that doesn't make any sense, because how could you do pidyon if it has kedushat haguf? So anyway, that's why Rashi prefers this nusach. So according to Rava, lo tafis pidyono, because it's kadosh, kedushat haguf, it's fully kadosh, just you can't eat it. Right? So kadosh ve'ino kadosh means it's kadosh, but it can't be eaten. That means it's got kedushat haguf, which means if you tried to do pidyon, it wouldn't work. Okay? That's okay. Like I said, there is some other. Rashi brings two options. I'm not going to go through the other option. Okay, so now we're going to say like this: Bishlam ala Rava Hainu Deika Ben Rebbe Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon. According to Rava, who says it's fully kadosh. Okay, so then remember they're coming to explain Rebbe Shita. Okay, it's fully kadosh, but ain't no nitar ba'achila. So now that would explain the difference between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Because what does Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon say? It's not fully kadosh after Shechita until you do Zerika, right? He says it's fully, according to Rava. So, and then you would say, that's the difference between them. Is it Tofes Pidyono or not, right? So according to Rava, according to Rebbe, it would not be, right. According to Rebbe, what would you say? Would it be Tafis Pidyon? No, no, that's what we said. It's not because of Kadosh Kedushat Aguf. According to Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, it's not Kadosh until you do Shechita and Zrika, and therefore after Shechita, it's only Kadosh Kedushat Damim, and you could Tafis Pidyon. Ela Labaye, who says that according to Rebbe, Kadosh Ve'ino Kadosh means Lo Tafis Pidyon, right? Because it's already, sorry, one second, no. Tafis, yeah, according to him, he would say that, Tafis Pidyono, right? It would work because it's only partially kadosh. It's still only kedushat damim. Rav Elazar Rav Shimon would say the exact same thing because he says it's not fully sanctified until you get to Zrika. So basically, both would agree according to Abaye that after Shechita, Tafis Pidyono because it's only kadosh kedushat aguf. Remember, kadosh ve'no kadosh means it's only partially kadosh. It hasn't yet been sanctified kedushat aguf. And Rav Elazar Rav Shimon says the same thing. Until you do Shechita and Zrika, it's not kadosh. So, Labaye might ikab in Rebbe le Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. So the answer is, now remember, what did Rebbe say that Rav Elazar Rav Shimon didn't say? Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, if you look through the Tafis Pidyono lens that we just started looking through, then you say there's no difference because they're both kadosh kedushat damim. But if you look at what they're really saying, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon says it's not at all kadosh, right? And Rebbe's saying it's partially kadosh after Shechita. So what's going to be the difference lalacha between them? Ika benayu leifsule biyotze. Once it has partial sanctity, okay, you've designated this for this sacrifice, then for this animal, you've sacrificed the animal, the bread now has partial kedusha, which means that if you now take it out of the mikdash, it's going to be disqualified, okay? Whereas before Shechita, it's not going to be disqualified. And according to Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, it won't be disqualified because it's nothing until you get to the Zerika. Okay? That's going to be the halachic difference. So we now have, just to review, because it's going to be important moving forward, we now have these two opinions. Rebbe says after Shechita, it's kadosh ve'ino kadosh, partial, which again, depends on how we read it. Either it means it's kadosh, kedushat damim, but not kedushat haguf. Or it means it's kadosh kedushat haguf, that's Rava, just you can't eat it. It's not allowed to be eaten yet. And then we have Rav Elazar Rav Shimon who says, right, it's nothing until you do the Zrika. So now we have a question that somebody asked, and we're now going to say this question makes no sense according to both ways we've understood Rebbe. Okay? Ba'amine Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak mi Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Okay, he asked a question of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Kivsei atzeret sheshachatan lishman v'zarat daman shelo lishman. You take these kivsei atzeret, you slaughter them lishman, okay, which would then get into our machloka, what's their status? V'zarat daman shelo lishman, but then you did the zrika with the wrong intent. Oto halechem mahu be'achila. Can you eat the bread? Okay? So now we're going to say, who could this question possibly be according to? Aliba deman. I aliba de Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon. For sure you can't eat it because ha'amar zrika hu to bekadsha. Right? The zrika is what causes it to be sanctified. And here the zrika was done shelo lishman. So obviously the bread can't be sanctified. And therefore, since it wasn't sanctified, it can't be eaten, right? The whole reason it can be eaten is it goes with the korban. The korban was done properly, and that allows allows it to be eaten. So what this question is premised on is saying that maybe there's someone who holds that shechita is enough to matir the bread ba'achila. Now, that's not going to work according to anything we've seen so far. Okay, and that's going to be the problem here. In other words, how could he even ask this question? For sure, it doesn't work according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Because he says, Zrika's Makacha, and here your Zrika was off. I aliba de Rebbe, if you say it's according to Rebbe, so again, we had two options. Either Kadosh, Veino Kadosh, means partially, right? It's got Kedushat Ami, but not Kedushat Aguf. That's Abaye, which means what? Of course you can't eat it yet. And according to Rava, Kadosh Veino Nitar, meaning it's not Nitar Ba'achila, so of course you can't eat it according to him. So, Bein Labaye, Bein Larava, Kadosh ve'eno nitar. In other words, even though Abaye doesn't say Kadosh ve'eno nitar, Kadosh ve'eno Kadosh is a previous, right? And Abaye was saying, well, yes, it's sanctified, but it's partially, sorry, Abaye said it's partially sanctified, but you can't eat it. Rava was saying, no, it's fully sanctified. It is Kadosh Aguf, just we don't allow it to be eaten. So either which way, nobody allows it to be eaten, because Rava was saying even in the father stage, it's better, but it still can't be eaten, so obviously Abaye would say you can't eat it. So basically, his question doesn't seem to match anybody's opinion. Okay? So how could he possibly think that Shechita would allow, that Shechita alone with a incorrect, improper Zrika would allow the bread to be eaten? Remember, he didn't say for sure it would, but he asked a question, which means he thought there was a possibility. And according to the basic understanding of all this, there's really no possibility. Ela aliba dehai tana. Okay, we're now going to say it must be according to this Tana. There's another Tana. Okay, in other words, there's a different explanation that we didn't yet discuss. Detane, there's a funny line, Avua de Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, the father of Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, who's obviously Abba, right? And that's, why didn't they say it to him by name? So some people say because Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba was more famous than his father, that's one possibility, and therefore they find you to know it was the father of, right? You know, some people, it's like they're the son of, but some people it's the father of, or the mother of, or the daughter. Some people say it's to distinguish him from a different Rabbi Abba, so that you know which Rabbi Abba it was. Okay, anyway, he brought a braita that says like this. Shtei halechem sheyatzu bein shchita lizrika. Okay, so now we're having a different case, but again, something happened between shchita and zrika. But the bread gets taken, the shtei halechem get taken out of the mikdash, okay, which means, right, they should be in theory pasul. We're going to see. They get taken out of the mikdash between shchita and zrika. And then, zarak daman shel kvasim chutz lizmanam. Okay, we have two things going on here. Number one, they were yotze after the shchita, before the zrika, which there's a whole debate, if you remember. Clearly, once you do zrika and then you take it out, there's a problem with taking it out. There was a debate, what if you take it out before zrika dam? Okay, we're going to get back to that debate in a minute. Okay, we're going to have a long thing till we get back to how this connects. So focus right now on this, and then I'll remind you how we where we got, you know, where we were. So she'alachem she'atzu ben shchita v'zrika v'zarak daman shel kvasim chutz l'zmanam. Now, when you do the zrika and the she'alachem are outside, okay, now you have a pigul machshava. So the question is, since you already, remember what we learned about pigul, if something's disqualified already, then your pigul machshava doesn't actually make it pigul. So here, your animals are okay, but your bread is not. Your bread was yotze. So do we say, so Rabbi Lezer Omer, ein balecha mishum pigul. Since the bread was already yotze, there's no pigul. Rabbi Akiva Amar, yesh balecha mishum pigul. There is pigul in the bread. Okay? Now Rav Sheshet's going to come and explain to us what their machloket is based on. I'm a Rav Sheshet. Hani tanai kirebi sfirale. Da'amar shchita makacha. These two tana'im, both of them agree that shchita sanctifies it. Because otherwise, if shchita didn't sanctify it, there would be no psul of being yotze. Okay? Because then it wouldn't be anything, right? It wouldn't have any holiness. So they both agree that shchita is makacha. So why is there a difference, the halacha, between them? Mihu Rabbi Lezer l'ta'amei da'amar. Rabbi Lezer holds l'shitato, and Rabbi Yekiva holds l'shitato about a different machloket. What's the machloket? This has to do with zrika. Damar, ein zrika mo'elet liyotze. Rabbi Eliezer says that zrika can only be mo'elet. Mo'elet means what? That it works to be able to be mefagel something, okay? To cause something to be pigul. Remember, the zrika has to affect the pigul. There has to be a good zrika. But if it's yotze already, before Zrika, then it can't mess it up. That's what Rabbi Lezer holds. We saw this machloket. There's a machloket about whether it is or not. So he says, Ein Zrika Mo'elet Liyotze. Okay, Zrika doesn't affect Pigul if something was already outside, because it's already Pasul, because it went outside. Rabbi Akiva Lata'amei, and that's why he would say, just to finish, the Lechem doesn't have Pigul, because the Lechem was already Yotze. Rabbi Akiva Lata'amei Da'amar, Zrika Mo'elet Liyotze. Okay, but Rabbi Akiva goes L'shitato, he thinks Zrika is mo'elet liyotze. Okay, now how do we know this machloket? They're now going to show the whole machloket. Titnan. Imurei kodshim kalim sheyatzu lifnei zrika tamim. Okay, this is what we learned already. If you have imurim of kodshim kalim, remember, what's kodshim kalim? Kodshim kalim is stuff like shlamim that you eat, but what do you have to do? You have to burn the imurim. So the way it works with a kodshim kalim is, there's no din of me'ila. Remember, me'ila? Me'ila means misuse of consecrated property. If you take an animal and sacrifice it for a shlamim, until you do this rikat dam, there's no me'ila yet. It only becomes, because really, it's going to be allowed to be eaten. What happens? As soon as you do this rikat dam, you now become obligated to burn the imurim, and therefore, if you use the imurim, those are the parts that get burned on the mizbeach, if you use those imurim, then you're chayav and me'ila, but only after zrika. Okay? So imurei kodshim kalim sheyatzu lifnei zrikat damim. Okay? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, ein mo'alim behem. There's no me'ila, he says, because they weren't yet, they were sanctified earlier, but it was all for kodshim kalim, and eventually you're going to be able to eat this whole thing. So at this stage, the imurim are part of the bigger animal, kind of batel to the animal. There's no me'ila yet. Me'ila kicks in only when? After the zrikat dam. Then at that point, you're going to be allowed to eat the meat, and you're going to have to burn the imurim, and you're a chayav me'ila on the imurim. Ve'en chayavin alehem mishum pigul. And there's no pigul if they went out before zrikat damim, because you already, you've messed them up earlier. Okay? That me'ila doesn't work then, since you already took them out. Rabbi Akiva, I'm sorry, ve'en chayavin aleim mishum pigul v'notar v'tameh. Okay, you're not chayav karet on all those things because you already messed it up by yotze. Rabbi Akiva amar, mo'alim bahem v'chayavin aleim mishum pigul v'notar v'tameh. He says there is a din of me'ila, okay, even if you took them out before zrikat dam. Okay, what does he say? The zrika affects me. Oh, I forgot to mention this. What Rabbi Lezer is saying is, when you did the zrika dam, the din of me'ila doesn't kick in. That's what he says. I didn't say it right. Right? The din of me'ila is supposed to kick in at zrika dam. Since you already took them outside, they're no longer connected. Right? He views this as, it's not so much that, like I said before, it's not really that they're disqualified, but that they're already not connected to the korban because you messed them up. You took them outside. So when you do the zrika right now, and that stuff is outside, it doesn't, like they're not connected anymore. So your zrika doesn't, you're now not going to be chayav if you did pigul. It doesn't affect what's outside. Like, they're not connected, and there's no me'ila on them because they weren't inside when you did it. But Rabbi Akiva says, no, when you do the zrika, okay, mo'alim bahem, even though the meat's outside or part of it's outside, there is a din of me'ila now in the imurim. And if you had a pigo machsheva when you did the zrika, even if the meat is outside, you're going to be chayav aleihem mishum pigo v'no tarvitame. Okay, if any issue came up, all the meat that was outside when you did the zrika is still connected. Okay. So now we're going to say my. So what do we say here? Mi dezrika pigo kav ala lechem bepigo biyotze kibasar zrika shalolish. One second, how do we read this? Mi dezrika pigo kav ala lechem. One second. According to this, let me just. What stage we're up to here? So now we're going to say. Right, now we're going to explain the question. Okay, so now our question is within Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Mo'alim behem b'chayavin aleihem mishum pigo v'no tarvitame. Okay, so if you take these in Murei Kachin Kalim, Shiatzu l'fnei Zrikatamin, you're going to be chayav. So now go back to our question. What did he ask? I'm just going back now to the original question. Okay, we're about 12 or 13 lines from the bottom of the previous Amud. He asked, Kivsei atzeret sheshechet, right? It starts, Ba'aminei Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak, mi Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Kivsei atzeret sheshechetan lishman, v'zarach daman shelo lishman, so you did the zrika shelo lishman, oto halechem ma'u be'achila. Okay, since you did the zrika shelo lishman, can the lechem be allowed for achila? So now we're going to say like this, my. Mi dezrika pigul kav ala lechem, be'pigul biyotze kibasar, since zrika dam can affect bread that left, just like it would affect meat that left. You understand? We're making an analogy. The in Kachim Kalim, right, the zrika of the dam can affect meat that was yotze for pigul. Likewise, the kishrita of the zrika of the kivse atzeret can affect bread that was yotze, right, and can cause it to become pigul. So if you can say it's kav'al alechem bepigul biyotze like basar, so maybe you would say like this. The shchita inherently connects the two. If they're so inherently connected that even if it's yotze, we're still going to say there's a din of pigul, then what do we say? Zrika, when you do zrika shelo lishma, now what happens when you do zrika shelo lishma and there's kivsei atzeret, you remember? It's not a chatat. A chatat becomes disqualified. It's a shlamim. So what happens? The korban itself is not disqualified, and you can bring, continue to sacrifice the korban and eat it. What do we say, though? You're just not yotze, you're chiyuv of that korban, of the kivsei atzeret, but you can continue to bring that start. That was the very first mission in Zvachim, right? Kol Zvachim, shenishchatu, shelo lishman, right? You can still, if they're not disqualified, you can still bring them, just lo yetsu yedei chovah, the chiyuv, but you can still eat them. So what do we say here? So zrika shelo lishman nami shar yale lalechem. So if we say for pigul the bread is still connected, that even if it's yotze, we can view them as connected, we can say the exact same thing when it comes to allowing the meat. Since they're inherently connected, when we, I would say, quote unquote, fix this korban and turn it into a regular shlamim and just sacrifice the kivsei atzeret. We did it shelo lishma. Let's say we did it l'shem shlamim, not for the kivsei atzeret. We did it for, you know, a regular shlamim voluntary offering. So it now became a shlamim. We can now eat the meat. Maybe we can now eat the bread, okay? Because they're inherently connected. Or what would be the opposite, the other logic to say no? Odilma l'chumra amrinan l'kula lo amrinan. Maybe that din of viewing them as inherently connected is only l'din pigul, that we can mess it up and say this has a din of pigul, that's a chumrah. But we can't say l'kula that we're going to allow it to be eaten. That was his question. Okay, that's what Rosh Hashanah says his question was. Okay, fine. Now, this is quite a confusing gemara. Now what we're going to do is we're going to say, oh no, Rav Papa's going to come and attack that and say that can't be the case. I don't like your question, the way you view his question. And we're going to actually have no good answer for what his question was all about. Okay? Matkifla Rav Papa, umimai. Umimai dechi itnihu abarai plige. How do you know that this machloket that we said at the very top of the Amud about imurei kochakalim shiatzu lifnei zrikat amim is talking about meat that went out, the imurim that went out and stayed out. Dilma bidi'inu abarai. Maybe if the meat is still outside, while you're doing the Zrikat Dam, everybody agrees, De'ein Zrika Moelet Liyotze. If the meat is out, the meat is out. They're not connected anymore. And likewise, we say the same with the bread. If it's Yotze and it's out there, while you're doing the Zrika can't affect something that's outside the Mikdash. But, Bahadar Ailinu Plike, their machloket is about when it went out and you brought it back in. Now, what's the machloket about then? Rabbi Elazar Savar Laki Rebbe, Damar, and this goes back to our previous machloket now. Rabbi Elazar holds like Rebbe, Damar, Shchita Mekadsha. If Shchita is Mekadsha, what do we say? As soon as you take it out, we don't care that you brought it back in. If Saluhu Biyotze, it became Pasul, because remember, unless it's until it's sanctified, there's no problem with taking things outside and inside. It's only once they became Kadosh. So according to Rebbe, the Shchita Mekadsha, so if you took it out and brought it back in before you did the Zrikat Dam, well, you messed it up. Then if Saluhu Biyotze, and therefore, we're going to say Eimo Alim Behem, Ein Chayav Mishum Pigul, because they're already disqualified. They're disqualified because of Yotze. They're not going to be also Pigul. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Damar, Shchita lo Mekadsha, velo Mifsalei biYotze. Since Shchita, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yaakov, Shchita is lo Mekadsha. If Shchita is lo Mekadsha, then by taking it out, you can take it out, you can bring it back in, it doesn't matter. As long as it's in when you do the Zrika, which it is according to this, then there's no problem. Velo Mifsalei biYotze. Okay, so now they say, they want to question what Rav Papa is saying. Okay, in which case we don't have an additional Tanaitic opinion here. In other words, that was what we were looking for to explain that question. So now they question Rav Papa, but they're going to answer it. Hi, Mai. Iyamar Bishla, could that really be true? If you want to say Rabbi Akiva, ki Rebbe Sfirale, damar Shchita Mekadshalu, hainu dekama Rabbi Akiva, dekadshalu b'shchita, va'at yezrika, kavaluhu b'pigul. He says, wait a minute, you can't say Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Akiva has to hold that the Shechita was Mekadesh. Why? Because if the Shechita is Mekadsha, then when you do the Zrika, you can be Mefagel, what you sanctified previously. But Ela Iya Mart Ki Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Sfirale, Damar Zvicha lo Mekadsha, Zrika Pigul mi Mekadsha. If you hold the Zvicha is not Mekadesh, so what are you going to hold? Zrika is Mekadesh, right? That's Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. If Rabbi Akiva holds the Zrika is Mekadesh, the Zrika was done Shalom Lishma. If the Zrika is done Shalom Lishma, and the Zrika, I'm sorry, the Zrika was done with a Pigul Machshava, could a Zrika with a Pigul Machshava sanctify something? In other words, in order to sanctify something, the Zrika has to be done properly. So you can't possibly say that Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, because it would never be sanctified, the bread. If it was never sanctified, there would never be Pigul. Okay? So therefore, and the Hamar of Gidol, Amarav, and that's here he's going to prove that you can't do this. Zrika pigul ena miviali de mi'ila, ve'ena motziami de mi'ila. Ena miviami de mi'ila bimere kochim kalim, ve'ena motziami de mi'ila bebasar koche kochim. In other words, he said, Rav Gidol said in the name of Rav, that when you do a Zrika, that's a pigul Zrika, it doesn't affect what a Zrika is supposed to affect, which would mean what? It's not mivili de mi'ila. In which case, in Kochim Kalim, remember what I told you. The moment of Zrika creates the Chiyuv Me'ila on the Imurim that are now supposed to be burned, right? In the Kochim Kalim. And in the Koche Kochim, it's dafka the opposite. Koche Kochim have sanctity earlier. They already have a din of Me'ila. And when you do the Zrika, what happens now? You allow the meat to be eaten by the Kohanim. You matir the Me'ila because you allow it. So basically, what he's saying is, in very simple terms, the Zrika, that's a Zrika Pigul, doesn't do what it's normally supposed to do. It doesn't, in a case where it's supposed to remove the Me'ila, it doesn't remove the Me'ila. In a case where it's supposed to create the Me'ila Chiyuv, it doesn't create the Me'ila Chiyuv. So there you have it, that Zrika that's not done properly can't affect a Chiyuv of Pigul. So it can't be, like he said, that Rabbi Yekiva holds like Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon. Comes the Gemara and says, no, you're wrong. Lavi Totim to Rav Gidol Amarav, wasn't he knocked out? In other words, it's true that Rav Gidol said this in the name of Rav, but in another place, it's not 100% clear where, but it seems like, based on some Sugya Me'ila, he was knocked out. In other words, this isn't true. Meaning that a Zrika of Pigul could actually affect sanctity, cause the sanctity to be Chal, and at the same moment cause it to become Pigul. So in which case, we're left with, and then we'll end here, Rav Papa basically knocks out Rav Sheshet's understanding to explain that question, and we're left basically without an explanation to that question. In other words, we can't really understand why he thought that according to anybody, you'd be allowed to eat the meat. Okay? It doesn't make any sense if the Zrika was done Shalom Lishma. Okay. Interestingly, they don't really come up with an answer. Okay.